Thank you as we come here today and just worship you, look into your word and ask you to speak to us. And God, we just pray that you would show us, give us insights and show us things that we never otherwise would know, and that would be encouraged to be able to step out in your love and your power. And also just pray for all the people that are traveling or out, and specifically Leon and Shayna, and God, your hand upon them, protect them. And again, just be with your people, protect your people, and Lord, just be their encouragement and their provision and all the things that they do. So again, pray that the word go out this morning. Just anoint me with your spirit and just open each heart to receive, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're on James, okay? James, we're going to look at James 1:9. Being a little facetious, I shouldn't be humorous, but I will anyway. This is a great memory verse. Everybody should shake your head in unison and go, no, it's not. This is not a good. Anyway, James 1:9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Now, this to me, this to me is a really puzzling statement. I mean, just when I looked at it, it really is puzzling. And the NIV states it like this. It elaborates and makes a for us, and it says this. The NIV says this: believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Okay, so sounds better, but it doesn't help me out any when you look at it. And literally, and again, I'm going to give a kind of a little capsule Bible lesson, what the Lord constantly teaches me. So when I looked at this, and it's just the next verse there, to be perfect, I was going to skip it. I mean, just who wants to preach on this? I just skip it, you know? And it's like you kind of, you know, the brother in the lowly position ought to be happy about it, or something like that. And but I've read this thing, this verse, several times over the years and stuff, and as I'm going through things. And so I never considered it very meaty, you know, things you'd like to talk about, like the tabernacle or something like that, you know. Well, one of the things that I've learned, and that the Lord keep bringing to mind, that when the Lord says something, when God says something and makes a statement, you know, it's like really important. It's really important. The Bible is the inspired word of God. We shouldn't be, because we don't understand something or think something that is not that important, whatever, we skip over it. You know, it's like God said it, it might be important. Maybe we shouldn't skip over it. Also, it doesn't fit our theology, so we try to change it a little bit to fit our theology. And if you had Jesus sitting there and he said something to you, and you, I don't know if you got this right, I need to work this out, and maybe I'll help you out. We wouldn't do that, but we do it with the scriptures. Well, the scriptures, God's word, and we take it as God's inerrant word, he has a purpose. He didn't stutter, and he didn't misspeak, you know. But I don't understand that. I don't agree with that. The problem's ours, okay? And God's trying to tell us something, and we bear in fear and trembling, go before the ones. Okay, what are you saying? What are you speaking to me? Because like a verse like this is powerful. Now, how do I know it's powerful? Because God said it. Because he said it. So, thus my roundabout Monday. And as I work through this, and it's humorous. And again, I'm doing this kind of as we look at the Bible and we try to understand some things. I mean, it's just kind of straightforward, and I don't consider it real deep theology. So, I redid this message like every day through Friday. And then I thought, this is not working. I mean, I'm going to have to go to another book. I mean, I can't yet. You know, it was really struggling with what you would present, you know. And I was hoping that y'all definitely could be more excited than I was about this whole thing. And I did, and the only reason I share this is a word of encouragement that we read the scriptures and God's going to speak to us. And if we don't understand something, it's probably something He's really trying to speak to us and we don't know what He's saying. So we should say, God, what are you telling me? What are you saying? Well, I don't agree with you. What are you telling me? And He'll tell us. We shouldn't edit God's word, or we shouldn't try to make God's word consistent with us, or make God's word consistent with the world. You know, it wasn't meant to do that. It was to go counter to all of that. It was to go counter to the world and keep us in line with God. So I share this, and just is a word of encouragement. But I did something very novel, really a novel thought. I looked at this. I said, God, I don't get this. It's Friday. You know, I think I could call Greg. He could do it Sunday. You know, I mean, it's just, you're coming up. But what I did, I said, God, you need to show me what this means. Now, wasn't that a novel thought? Wasn't that a novel thought? I said, God, you got to show me. I can't get anything out of this, and I'm having trouble. You need to show me what this means. Immediately, it's one of those like neon signs in your head. He said, look at Acts 3, verse 6. He just kind of said, Acts 3, verse 6. I said, I wonder what Acts 3, verse 6 says. So here is Acts up on the, this is what Acts 3, verse 6 says. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter's a lowly man. He didn't have anything, not one thing. You know, not one thing. Peter, boast in your exaltation. He didn't have anything except Jesus and the power of God. And as I'm looking at the Bible, I kind of go before I go, oh. You know, like I don't have anything to say to Jesus, but this, oh, that's what you meant. See, now, why do I say that? That's how we should read the Bible. That's how we should read. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. What? Show me, God, what you mean. Show me, God, what you're trying to say. Because He's saying something from His point of view that as humans we don't know. He's trying to speak to us. And so what He told me here, this is what I'm saying. The lowly brothers, it's just like Peter said, no gold. No silver, no gold. But what I have, is the power of God. I give it to you. So in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That's all he had. And so this verse says, hey, Peter, boast in your exaltation. Because you gave him what he needed to have, me. See, so it's like, okay, this is a really important verse. We should read it and think, God speak to us. And no, I'm going to use, which is all through the scriptures, and we see it through, I'm going to use a lowly brother and sister to do mighty things. I'm going to use them. And they should be excited that I've touched them in their position and I've got them in a special place to do my work. Be excited about me. So it's like, oh my gosh, once we accept Christ and once He worked, we're in a whole different realm. We're in His kingdom, walking in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, don't need any money. Don't need it. If you do, I'll give it to you, you know, like this. You know, if I got you, I'll give you a job. You know, but you're walking in a whole different realm. So that's what this verse is saying. It's like, oh my goodness. And so, what it is saying, what this verse is saying, the lowly brother without material resources will out of necessity more readily embrace the spiritual resources. I don't have nothing. Yeah, you do. You got me. Use it. But I'm broke. That's all right. You got me. Use it. But I don't have it. That's all right. You got me. Use it. And I didn't bring you here to give somebody money. I gave you here to speak my words into their life so I could do a miracle. See, that's your job. That's your job. He's going to be excited about your job. Has nothing to do with physical resources. It has everything to do with spiritual resources. And what he's saying is the lowly brother doesn't even have any resources. So it's not an option anyway. We don't have nothing. But what I do have, I give you. So they immediately go to what they do have because they don't have this other. It's not even an option. So they don't even think about it. So they immediately think of Christ and what he has. And that's where he wanted them to be. He's right. The lowly brother is right where he wants them to be. And this morning, as I'm preparing for it, I'm looking at this. And again, the reason I'm sharing this, and the only reason I'm sharing it like this, is this is for everybody that God speaks through your scripture, the scripture way has to say, so we understand what he's telling. You know, so you understand, you look, God will speak to you and he'll give you insight of what he's trying to say. Just like this James 1:9, yeah, Acts 3:6 explains it. No problem. Oh, how old am I? 77. I just got this Friday. See, it's like, wow. So, I mean, just keep trucking. He'll talk to you. Just keep trucking. He'll talk to you. And this morning, as I'm getting ready, so, okay, I'm ready. And the Lord just brings this to mind out of the blue. And so, and I just jot, that's the reason I jotted it on this paper, because I had already put it on the iPad, and I wasn't going to recopy it on that, so I jotted it on this paper. But in this context, he brought this to mind. He was saying, and he spoke to me, like he said, see, I'm taking care of you. He wasn't even worried about y'all. He's worried about me. He said, I'm taking care of you, Wallace. This is how I take, where is your head? I'm taking care of you. Do you know, where is your head? And what came to mind, and I'll just summarize it here, is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. Great verses. Luke chapter 12, 22 through 31. And it says this. Now Jesus, it says, listen, guys. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. God feeds the birds. How much more valuable are you than birds? I mean, that doesn't even sound like a seminary professor. I mean, it just sounds like a horticulturist or animal lover. But what he's saying, he's just simple. This is simple. The world tells you what I'm doing. God feeds the birds. How much more value are you than birds? Then it says this, don't worry. God knows what you need. And then it says, instead, seek God's kingdom and all these things will be added to you. I don't have any money. I don't have anything. I don't have nothing. He goes, yeah, you do. You got me. You seek me. I give you all this stuff. What do you do? I give you all this stuff. Now, that's what he's telling us, and that's what he's telling us here in James, and what comes to mind, and he's telling us a principle so we walk in trust, so we'll walk in trust, and I'm recalling this, the Pharisees or someone in authority came to Jesus' disciples and said, hey, your master didn't pay this tax. He didn't pay this tax. They go, oh, my goodness. They go, Jesus, we didn't pay this tax. He's all right. Tell you what you do. Go over here, throw out a hook in the water, pull out a fish, and he'll have 2 gold coins in his mouth. And then go pay the tax. Okay. You say so. And that's what they did. See? And it's the same Jesus that said this. The same Jesus that said this. You know, he said, now, is he going to tell you to go to a lake and throw in the, you know, hook and pull out a fish and get 2 gold coins out of his mouth? I don't know. He might. I mean, if he tells me, I'm going. I mean, he's kind of that. He's convinced me of that. But what he will do, he says, see what I can do. He will tell you something. He will tell you something that will be your line and hook and fish. He'll tell you something. He goes, do that. That's all you need. Seek ye first the kingdom. I'll give you all this stuff. Don't you understand? See how I paid that tax? That's what he said. See how I paid that tax? That's my kingdom. You seek me, I'll pay the tax. Pay the tax. So we see what the Lord is saying here in James 1:9. This is what he's saying in James 1:9. And it ties into Luke 12. Same thing. He's terribly consistent. So now I'm just going to back up with me and looking at the scriptures. So I look at James 1:9. So the Lord's watching me look at James 1:9. So I read, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. I said, what's the use of this? Why are you saying this? Okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. God's going, oh, God, I didn't believe he said that. Now, I'm sure that's not God behaved that way. But to communicate, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he'd look at my word and say that. Doesn't he know Acts 3:6? Doesn't he know Luke 12:22-34? I know he's read them 100 times. Doesn't he know that? How can he say that word? See? So you can see. Now, so I'm saying, that's how you read scripture. God, tell me what it says. Tell me what it says. Show me what it says. And sometimes he doesn't show us because we're not ready to receive it, and he'll show us later. But we don't discard it. We're holding it there. We're holding it there. And so we're standing on that because he told us for a reason. He told us for a reason. So the lowly brother is the one who's figured out that God's everything. That's the lowly brother. He's got God. I don't need the rest of that stuff because he knows what it is. He's going to give it to me. He's not saying, be lowly, be poor, quit your job, you know, dress in rags, you know, walk around, beat yourself, hold out a cup, and, you know, that's not what he's saying. He's, no, I give it to you. There's nothing wrong with it. I just want you to put me first. Put me first. Thus, the lowly brother's dependence is on God, and he boasts about it. See? You don't have anything. Oh, yeah, I do. You know? The disciples, you can't pay the tax. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. You see what I'm saying? And so it's an attitude of belief and an attitude of trust before God that he's working in our situation. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Luke 12:22, Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. He says, God knows what you need. See? So the whole thing, but you do something. You seek the kingdom of God, and he gives it to you. You know? You seek him, and you just stay poor. You stay, you know, in terrible situation. He's not, it's that, you're missing the whole point. It's doing me, trusting in me, that you look to me, and I'll provide what you need. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. I know what you need. Oh, Luke has another killer verse right in. I mean, if you keep reading in Luke, the Bible will do that. You just keep reading. Oh, my gosh. So here's the killer verse, and here's the problem in Luke. So we just continue to Luke 12:34. And here's the issue. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lowly brother, he ain't had nothing. He had nothing. heart's not there because he didn't have it. It's not like, oh, I got this, my heart's. No, he didn't have nothing, you know. So his heart's not there because he didn't have anything. You know, son of a gun, I just got Jesus. He said, you're good. Now you're good. Now you're good. See, and so the lowly brother, by necessity, trusts Jesus. Now, isn't that amazing? The lowly brother, by necessity, trusts Jesus. Hey, God, give me $1 million. No, no. You just go off. No, it wouldn't do you good. It wouldn't do me and you good. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You see? So that's God's economy. God's economy. All right. So there, we're not done. So counter this. The lowly brother's dependence is on God, and he is to boast to him. That's his exaltation. That's his exaltation. That's the lowly brother's exaltation. I trust God. I exalt that. He says, boast about it. I trust God. Now, counter it with verse 10, what God says to the rich. Counter it with an admonition to the rich. Now he addresses the rich. Very interesting. He says this, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation. Come on. Come on. I mean, I'm sure this is me. Lord, I'm sure there's an easier way to have said this. I mean, the way you say it, God, is really confusing me. You know, like that. But he goes, but look at this. The lowly brother boasts your exaltation. The rich should take pride in their humiliation. What is he talking about? What's he talking about? But it's all in context. And I'll read this. It's not in the overheads. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. That's what the rich said. He passes away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of all his pursuits. So now this is all together, 9:10, okay? So again, this is another puzzling statement. The rich should take pride in their humiliation. Okay. Now, in comparison to the lowly brother, the rich man recognizes that his wealth adds nothing to him before God. See? His wealth doesn't add anything to you, to him. All right? Adds nothing to him before God. In fact, the wealth can be an obstacle in trusting God. Now, kind of to drive home the point, God says it'd be easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. Well, now that stinks, you know. And he told that to the Pharisees, and they're ticked. What are you saying? Because it was, you know, they judged one another by the wealth and what they had, which is biblical. But you throw in these other verses, say, it doesn't make sense. Well, when you look at it and take it in context, it kind of makes a whole lot of sense. So, but what we here have, what we have for the rich man is that he sees that his riches do nothing for him before God. See, and what it says, he should take pride in his humiliation. He takes pride in my riches do nothing for me. They're my humiliation. They'll never help me. He takes pride in that. Well, what's the rich man done? Rich man's kind of become like the lowly man, you know. So that's his humiliation. He says, the riches do nothing. He realizes it. But he will take pride in the worthlessness of wealth, because it means that he trusts in Jesus. I take pride in my humiliation, the wealth. That means I trust in Jesus. See what happened? He takes pride. He recognizes the wealth for what it is. It's humility. I don't need it. I haven't. But my heart's not on it. I don't trust it. I'm trusting Jesus. If he tells me use it, I'll do it. But that has nothing to do with my standing before God. Now, will you see what God has done? He just like, the lowly, the rich, he put them right there together. They both trust God. Exalt. Be humiliated. They're both in the same spot. Same spot. So it's like, oh my goodness. Oh, by the way, I'll remind you, I was going to skip this morning. God, yeah, what is this nonsense? I'll just skip it. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's God saying, you're going to skip it? You're going to skip it? But I don't understand it. Well, if we just depend on what you understand, we're not going to go no place ever. Because you don't understand nothing. See, so we are reminded, and in this, in truth, we're reminded in the parables what Jesus said in the parables. This whole picture, look at Matthew 13:22 about the rich. Well, he didn't say the rich, but he that affects the rich, Matthew 13:22. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. Same thing. He's just saying the same thing. See, if the weeds will choke it out. And so what he's saying, the rich man that's walking with the Lord says, that's the riches of my humiliation. They'll choke out the word. I'm humiliated. I don't want anything to do with that because he'll choke out the word. See? And again, notice how he says it. Again, the Lord, he takes pride in him knowing that this chokes out the word. I don't know why he said it like that, but that's why he said it like that. I am proud that I know that that chokes out the word. I don't want that. I don't want that for me, because that proves when I take pride in that humiliation that I don't want those riches, that means I trust in God. Just like the lowly man. Just like the lowly man. And it's like, oh my goodness. Now let me summarize this on this one verse. Now, I hope y'all are appreciating my revelations through this. You know, it's like, holy cow, you know, Lord Jesus, what you have hidden here. So, a summary of what we just read. The lowly should be encouraged. We know why, because they trust God. The lowly should be encouraged. The wealthy must beware not to set their heart on riches and not to be like the seed sown among the thorns. That's so he laid it out. I mean, he laid it out really clearly. Everybody's on that same page. It's the trust of the Lord. You have nothing, you have a billion. Same. Doesn't make any difference. Oh, yes. How do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? That's all he's saying. He's making that point. Driving it home. Now, okay, we all got that? Amen? Okay. Look at verse 12. This will knock your socks off. It's amazing. If you just keep reading. Verse 12 is just incredible. Now James encourages believers, both poor and rich. He's got the poor and rich on one level. Now he's going to encourage both of them. He's talking to both of them. I'm pulling it together for you. Now God's saying this, so pay attention and ask him to reveal it to you, what he's saying. He's saying in James 1:12, overhead here, blessed, good, honored, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. That's how you get there. He was telling them how to get to verse 12. Everybody, get to verse 12. Now, when I read this, you can tell I'm having a crazy Friday. Because I'm usually got this thing locked up by Thursday. And it's like, so it's like, oh my goodness. Something absolutely jumped off the page at me when I read this Friday. It's like, wow. You know what it was? Look at verse 12. You know what it was? Steadfast under trials, stood the test. That goes back to verse 2 and 3 we did 2 weeks ago. Verses 2 and 3 are in context with verse 12. The whole section, verses 2 and 3, all the way through 12, are in the same context of trials and standing under the test. That's how you get there, rich or poor. And what does verses 2 or 3 say? Count it all joy. Count it all joy for trials. The poor and the rich, count it all joy. And it all joy. You see, it's all context. He's telling them. And I'm looking at it, and I swear, before the Lord Jesus, I never saw that. I mean, there's only like, what, 10 verses in between, but I never saw it. It says the same thing. Count it all joy. Count trials all joy. When you stand the test, and this goes, and this, so this is explaining it. This is explaining it right here. I'm going to read it again. Count it all joy for the trials. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for he has stood, when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God had promised those who love him. It's all connected. It's all in context. Rich and poor, I'll get you there. Hang in there. I'll get you there. If, like me, if you read the Bible, I don't know how many times, 50 years walking with the Lord, I'll show you what it means. Now, see, I helped y'all out. I gave you, like, cheated little. You don't have to wait this long. You know, if you want to, go ahead. But you don't have to wait this long. Just read it and see what it says. So this is all in context, and it's in context with trials. Now, what did we learn 2 weeks ago? If you, stretch your mind back 2 weeks ago. That's how God teaches us through trials and tests. I'll teach you. I will teach you to trust me. I will teach you to trust me. Lowly man, rich man. Okay? You need to honor that what you have is trust in me. Okay? That's your honor. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. And so you see this picture here of what he's saying. Now he adds something to it. You said, you stand under the trials. He's teaching us, you know, and he's teaching the lowly and the rich. So we know he's teaching, and so we count it all joy. Amen. But look what else it says in 12. It says, here it also says, that he will reward us and give us a crown of life if we persevere. So now he just threw that in verse 12. He said, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you. See? And it's like, and I'm going to give you a crown of life. A crown of life. Now here's something really important. When you look at this, the crown of life, he's going to give us a crown of life if we persevere. What is it telling us in 2 and 3? Persevere. Now we got in 12. If you persevere, I'm going to give you a crown of life. I'm going to give you a crown of life. When we persevere, there's something there. But now, here's something. The crown of life means, the crown of life means the crown because of our life. That means that. The crown, I'm going to give you the crown of life. I'm going to give you the crown because of your life. Because you withstood the trials. See? He's giving the ground because there's a condition. There's a condition. I'm going to give it because you did something. You persevered. You didn't quit. I'll give you the crown of life. We give the crown of life. We get the crown because of our life. Now, we know, I got to say this, we have to repeat it. We know we are saved by grace and not by works. Amen? I don't have to ask anybody to repeat that. We're saved by grace and not by works. That's a foundation of the Christian belief. We're saved, but we don't work our way there. That's a curse. We're saved. So with a foundation, we're saved by grace. So we start there. This crown of life is not salvation. It's a reward to those who have believed. It's not salvation. Oh, you persevere and you get to heaven. No, you won't. That's not it. But what he's saying, as believers, we are rewarded for the good works we do. Now, that comes with the teaching. That comes with being a witness, you know. Blessed be the lowly, you know. Have the lowly boast in their exaltation. And the rich take pride in their humiliation because what they do makes a difference. And if they persevere, they get the crown of life based on what they do. You're going to get a reward. You're going to get a reward. It's like, now, there's a couple of verses. For instance, no overhead. I'll just read this. There's a mess of verses that talk about, Apostle Paul talks about all the time about running the race, and you get a little crown when you finish the race and stuff. He talks about all the time, you know. But in Revelation 2:10 it says this: Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Okay, do not fear what you're about to suffer. You may be tested. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. There it is, same word. Be faithful, and I'll give you a crown of life. Be faithful, and I'll give you a reward. You may not, you know, I mean, you just may fold like a cheap suit, okay? Okay. But no, if you persevere, I'll give you the crown of life, because you're going to go through some tough stuff. Tough stuff. In fact, 2 Timothy 4:8, specifically 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, Paul says, you will get a reward after you finish running the race. Okay? So God's making a distinction. A lot of churches get this backwards. You know, oh, you got to work your way to God. You got to work this. You got to work His approval. That's wrong. Okay? Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. We do nothing. Then we step into it. However, now as we persevere and listen to God, we all grow at different levels, and we see that. He goes, you get a crown. You're going to get rewards based on what you do here. What you do here. See, after death, we will receive a crown because of our life. However, all our efforts without Christ will be burned up. Here's one of my favorite verses, seriously. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. Get a crown and nothing, but you get there. You get there. You know, crown or nothing. You know, and I mean, nothing's not bad. You stand in there, you just spend eternity with Jesus forever. You know, I'm good with that. You know, I can kind of go to the nothing route. You know, God, I just don't want to suffer any pain now. You know, I'll go eternity the nothing route. You know, I mean, I'm with you. Couldn't be that bad. Couldn't be that bad. See, now, so you have the picture here of what God's trying to, we have the picture of what God's trying to tell us. The whole picture of what He's trying to tell us. When we persevere through trials and tests, we will receive rewards that are beyond description. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that? That's what it says. You persevere, We start verses 2 and 3. We count it all joy, don't we? Me and you are just rejoicing in our trials all the time. You know, no, you're going to have to find somebody besides me because I'm not a big rejoicer in trials. But you can find somebody that's rejoicing right then. Count it all joy. Count it all joy in all these trials. Because he's coming down to this point. Because when you persevere, I'm going to give you a crown because of your life. You're going to have rewards more than you can ever imagine. Have joy now because it's coming. It's coming. All you got to do is persevere. Let me teach you. Let me teach you. When we persevere through trials and tests, we will receive rewards beyond that are beyond description. Look at Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. It's a big party when we get there. It's a party when we get there. You know? And what revealed to us? What'd we do? Accepted Jesus and persevered. He said, I'm going to pour out the blessings on you. Pour out the blessings. And I mean, and I think everybody's going to be happy. Like if I get there, well, I will get there. I have no doubt about that. But with no reward, so I get there with nothing. Okay? See, and I'm happy to be with Jesus. And the Apostle Paul comes out. I mean, they just pour blessings on Paul. I'm happy for Paul. I'm not a bit sad that he's getting all those blessings. Because I know he suffered way more than I did. And I'm just so happy, you know, and I'll be happy all eternity for Paul. You know, that's that. I just see, make a point there. But the promise is you do get receive more than you can imagine. Therefore, rejoice in the trials. What we're doing this earth is for a reason. All the misery you're going through right now, all the time, is for a reason that goes into eternity. God, we don't understand it all. We don't understand. Ask God and he'll show you. Now, and close it up with this. This really is all about love. Fascinating. All about. Y'all should have just been in our house Friday. I never left my office, you know, like that. It's agonizing over this. It wasn't just, oh, hallelujah. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, what's going on here? And it's just showing these different things here. But this is all about love. It is absolutely all about love. And if we love Christ or not. It's about the perseverance. Again, we're in. I'm in. I'm just telling you. Saved by grace, by the blood. I'm in right there. You know. We're in by Jesus. But by the perseverance, we persevere because of our love. We love him and we're persevering. We believe him. We're counting it all joy. And it's really all about love. Perseverance, now listen to this. Perseverance is only evidence of our love. That's all it is. This guy just perseveres. I can't believe it. He just goes on and on. He doesn't quit and just gone. I can't believe it. Gosh, he must love Jesus. Man, he just won't quit. He just perseverance is evidence of love. You don't earn love. You get it. But it's perseverance of our love to him. It's evidence. Okay. We said, well, that person act like they care about nothing. Nothing ever happens like that. You know? Jesus talked to people about people who loved a little, people who loved a lot. You know? People who love a little don't believe they're forgiven much. People who love a lot believe they've been forgiven a lot. See? You see, God, it's your heart. It's your heart. Like that. So it's all about love. God rewards those who love him like that. There's a reward for that kind of love. The last statement of James 1:12 makes it all clear. Okay? Look at James 1:12 again. Now it's all clear. It's all coming together. Aren't you glad it's all coming together? Verse 2 to 3, and now in verse 12, it's going to all come together. You're going to have it all figured out. James 1, 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of God, crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. That's the whole thing. Count it all joy for the trial. You know the ones who count it all joy? Those who love him. And he rewards those who love him. And what's the evidence? They persevere. We all stand before him. We all stand before him. And it says we're rewarded. We're rewarded. Based on the trial, from James, based on the trials and the testing we have gone through. Gone through. Then he can say, doesn't it make all the sense in the world? All of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. He loves Jesus and he perseveres. Then it says here, in the rich should take pride in his humiliation. I don't want the gifts. I don't want the treasures. I don't want that wealth to take away from me. I boast and I don't want it because I trust in God and what he's going to do. And I do the things for him. Makes perfect sense. Amen? It all starts and ends the same way. We'll just end with this. Bottom line, it's all about who we love. Perseverance is about who we love. It's all about Jesus. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now I'll end with this. The disciples, this is like Acts 2 or something, or Acts 2 to 4. And so they came in and they were persecuted and punished because that they trusted in Christ. So it wasn't going over big, trusting in Christ. And said they left and they praised God that they were able to suffer for Jesus. They persevered. That's all they did. I mean, not what they wanted, they just did. You know, they didn't, you know. So, it's real simple. So, the lesson in this, don't skip a verse. Don't skip a verse. If you got a verse you want to skip, you better meditate it on it, a week or so. All right, don't skip a verse. Don't reinterpret a verse. Don't make a verse, you know, adhere to your theology. No, God is trying to change your theology to his theology. You know, and that's what the Bible does. The Bible will speak to us and give us God's mind. And God is the best interpreter of his word. I mean, after all, the Holy Spirit wrote the word. He'd be the best one to interpret the word. Right? Well, let's look at Acts 3:6. Just try me. Oh, son of a gun. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, and we thank you for your word, God. And it's all of this is to, you know, it's so simple. It's so simple to say the words. It's like, who do you love? Who do you love? You've already shown that you love us. You love us. You've already shown that, an infinite love for us. And you just say, now love me back. Now love me back. Love me back. So Jesus said, who do you love? Persevere because you love me. Look to me because you love me. Don't fear because you love me. And so, God, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your revelation. You are busy working in this world. And, you know, this is a painful, hurtful world. And he knows it. He knows what we need, and he is working in it, and he wants us to love him and know he's taking care of us in the long run, and there's eternal rewards for our perseverance in these tough times. So, God, we give thanks to you. We thank you that you have saved us, that we are forgiven through your death on the cross. Nothing to add to that. We are forgiven. We just trust in your completed work. And Lord, because of your completed work, we love you. We love you. Give us your strength. Give us your strength to stand for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.